faithful people. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, we bring our animals, our companions, to be blessed. Because this past week, we celebrated the life of Francis of Assisi, and we celebrate his life this morning as a gathered community. He recognized in all of creation the presence of the Creator, the presence of God. Let's take a brief look at the world of Francis. It is 13th century Europe. The earmarks of that society were war, greed, social status, disregard for the poor and the sick, anyone who did not conform or look like the upper middle class or nobility had no place in this world. Knights decked out in regal armor, warring men were the heroes of the day. Women were seen as property, weak. They had to be protected, so noble men would defend their property, their ladies. Power struggles over those seen as weaker. Over the years, we have romanticized all of this, but it was rather ugly. Society and the church fell into this trap. It was a power push. It was a push for wealth, push for status. So along comes this guy, dressed in rags, with a band of brothers, Francis. Actually, just on the aside, Francis was his nickname that his father gave him. He was actually baptized John. But his father made his fortune in France. And so as a nickname, he called him Francis. And it stuck. So Francis and his friend Claire, with her sister, what are they doing? Washing, feeding, and caring for lepers, the sick, and the outcast. Francis has visions and hears a voice telling him, "My church is falling down. Rebuild it." Sounds like crazy talk to people, but that's what happens to visionaries. What we term as the Jesus movement, Francis and Claire brought to their world, to the 13th century. Any of this sound familiar? We haven't come too far in the 836 years since the time of Francis and Claire. Seems like we haven't learned yet. We still dabble in war, we glory in war, we glory in power over other people. We've gotten so efficient with war and killing other people that someone here can go to work with his lunch pail, sit in a room and press a button and blow up part of a city and people's homes in another part of the world. Eat his lunch, back and press another button and blow some more people up somewhere thousands of miles away. That's frightening. Francis called for peace. Francis called for loving other people. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, is calling the church to be the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. Let's take a look at that. For me, it became really clear this past week. One of our brothers, who Sam, who lives in St. Louis, is part of a mission to reach out to the Episcopal Diocese of Puerto Rico to help rebuild the church after Hurricane Maria. He wrote to community this week and told us a story. Someone said to him, "How wonderful it is that you are bringing Jesus to these people." His response was, "No, I'm going to be Jesus to these people." Allowing yourself to be the presence of Jesus in everyday life is the Jesus movement. Not talking about it, not strutting around and trying to be seen as the good guy. The Jesus movement is serving, such as we do as community here at St. Dunstan's, serving 11,357 meals since January 1st from this place. It's being a listening heart to someone else, putting aside your own wants and needs to care for another, building a viable relationship with Jesus through prayer and study. Caring for God's creation by helping to repair the damage we have done to our environment. We like to think about Francis, and we stick him on our bird feeders, and we stick his image on bird baths, and we associate the man with that image. But again, his appreciation of creation was the Creator, the reflection of the Creator, seeing God in all of creation. We can tell wonder-filled stories about Francis and Claire, about the Franciscan movement in the world. We can carry on about the good stuff done in the name of society and the church, but it all means very little if we don't have the love and courage to smile at the checkout clerk or the homeless person on the corner. Small steps open our hearts to being the living Jesus movement in our everyday lives. Put aside the fear we all live with. Be the Jesus movement. I want to share one parting thought with you. And it comes from N.T. Wright, an Anglican scripture scholar, theologian, and bishop. He expressed it while talking about the passion and crucifixion in the light of John's gospel. He said, "It is the day the revolution begins, the revolution of generosity, mercy, inclusion, and justice." Francis wasn't this soft, fuzzy kind of guy. The love of his life was Jesus. He lived for the cross. He lived in his spirit on the cross with Jesus. Someone described Francis and his relation with Jesus as being head over heels in love with Jesus. But like all love, it has its ups and downs and its good points and its bad points. So when we think about Francis, put the bird bath aside, put put the bird feeder aside. Think about the cross, because that's where Francis' life was. In Jesus'